That's it, Tyler. Tyler, deleted from the computer, man. What was it, an hour and what? 5 minutes?
5 minutes and 54 seconds. That's a
long time. Yeah, that's like an hour of my life I'll never get back. So that's okay. Wow, look, here we are. We've done it. We've gotten this far. And it is exciting to be amongst you. As Heather mentioned, we have been on this path towards the end of Acts for 2.5 years, and it has brought us here today, and I am excited, not only for what God wants to share today, but what he has for us next as well. Well, in music, and man, worship band, holy moly, that was really good. In music, there is a natural progression to the end of a song. And the key of the song determines what's referred to as the tonic or the root, sometimes called chord or note, okay? And that is the one note that typically will begin and end the song. Not always, but most of the time, that is the note that will begin and end the song. It's sort of a landing spot for all of the other notes that exist within the song. Now, if I play something in the key of G, for instance, there are certain chords and notes that go with it. Chords like the chord like D, C, E minor. And you begin to put these chords in a logical progression, and all of a sudden you can fill out a song. You have verses, choruses, bridges, and instrumentals, and they come together in this pleasant and musical manner. You know, when we're listening to the band playing, most of us aren't thinking about anything, any of that stuff. The band, they are, because they have to, so that it sounds pleasant. They practice and they rehearse to make sure all the notes fit in the right places at the right time. But then there's the ending. And like anything, how you land the plane on a song is one of the most important parts of the entire piece. And for the vast majority of songs, especially in our context, the most logical way to end is to go back to the tonic note or chord, to go back to the root, the thing that holds it all together. It's what you call in the music world resolving the song. Now, the act of resolving a chord progression, we're gonna play a little guitar this morning. Are you excited about that? I thought, listen, it's the last week, we're gonna pull out all the stops. Some of you don't know, I know how to play guitar. It's a thing, but the act of resolving the chord progression is not only pleasing to the ear, but it feels like a proper ending. It feels like, okay, the song is finished. I can move on with my life. But there are moments where a musician will choose to end the song on something other than the root note or chord. And doing this is considered an unresolved ending to a song. And when you hear it, it actually feels that way. It feels like you're on the edge and you can't quite take a next step. Like, there's gotta be more, right? So for instance, if I play the chord progression, G, C, E minor, D, sorry, that's wrong. G, D, E minor, C, and then back to G, you'll notice it feels very resolved when I end it, right? G, D, E minor, C, right? We can all move on with life. Whew, it feels good. It's resolved. But what happens if I don't resolve the song? It might sound something like this. Yeah. And sometimes musicians will do that. They'll end on this weird, well, just play the last chord, man. And they're like, not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. It makes you feel a little like there's something more to come. One of the most famous songs in all the world that does that is the song Take It Easy by the Eagles. Go home and listen to it. You get to the end of the song and you're like, and then, right? Like, what happens next? Now, why am I giving you some sort of music lesson today? It's not because, you know, I just like playing guitar every once in a while. But here's why. There's something about an unresolved song that could teach us about life. Because from day to day, month to month, year to year, life can feel like it's ending on an unresolved chord. As if there's got to be something more to come. But I feel like I'm on the edge of something new, but I don't know what it is. Which I know can be really frustrating because we love things to be resolved. If I say this, bump, ba-da-da, bump, bump. Yeah, you just can't help yourself, can you? But if I just stop there, some of you would scratch your eyes out until somebody said bump, bump, right? It just, we desire this sense. There's this innate sense in us for things to be resolved. When you watch a movie or you read a book, there's an arc to those stories. There's this tension that's built. There's a climax that happens. And then great stories have some sort of resolution so that when you finish the book, for the most part, you're going, all right, I can move on with life. Not every book does that, though, and those I throw in fire because my heart just can't deal with it. We just love things to be resolved. And in life, we want there to be a resolution, don't we? We want things to feel resolved. We want that problem we're facing, the future we're chasing, the faith we're desiring. We want all of our dreams and our aspirations and our hopes to somehow find resolutions. But what happens when we're sitting in the unresolved chords of life? What happens when we feel stuck in a situation, on the edge of something new or on the edge of something being resolved, but yet we just can't get to the next place? What happens when we feel stuck in a circumstance that needs resolution, but it just feels like it's not coming anytime soon? Well, today, we're going to look one final time at the book of Acts. And as we do, we're going to learn about where we can then turn when life feels a little unresolved. So if you haven't done so already, you can open up the YouVersion Bible app. It's on your phone for free. Get downloaded. It's a great resource. And go to more and then events, and you can follow along with me one last time here as we go through the last passage in the book of Acts. And as you do, the final week of this series, we started this series back on January 9th, 2022, 2.5 years ago, almost to the day. And we made it. We did it. We are here. It took us a long time, but we did it. And as I was preparing for today, I decided to go back and watch the very first sermon that I gave on January 9th, 2022. And I thought I'd share a little of what I found. Watch this.
So today, we're going to take our first step in walking through the entire book of Acts. 28 chapters. I might be dead by the time we finish this one. I mean, truthfully, I don't know how long it's going to take. I know it's going to take more than this year to get through it. We're going to be spending numerous weeks in the book of Acts. We're going to take some breaks and talk about some other things. But we're just going to work our way through the sequel of Jesus' story, the book of Acts. Now you may be wondering, why in the world would we do this? That's why I spent months upon months going through this particular book. And here's my reason, my main reason. There's many, but here's my main reason. It's that after almost 2 years of wading our way through a pandemic and all that has come with it, I'm concerned that we have lost sight of who we, the church, really are. I'm afraid for many that faith has become this novelty item in Jesus, another piece of their life, but not the most important, much like maybe they're committed to a book club or a volunteer opportunity. And so I want us in the coming year to really rekindle our faith in such a way that it changes everything for us. I want it to change the way that we work. I want it to change the way that we talk. I want it to change the way we relate to one another and the way that we view the world. I can think of no better place to look than in the book of Acts. It is not just a story of what happened, but it is a story of what is happening right here in our midst. The book of Acts gives us a glimpse into the work of Jesus that he's been doing for thousands of years, all the way to our year, 2022. It's a story that we now find ourselves part of. I love how author and scholar N.T. Wright talks about the book of Acts. He says this, this is a play in which we are invited to become actors to become ourselves.
The book of Acts invites us
to become part of this sequel to the story of Jesus. And it includes you. That's right. You are being invited into the continued story of Acts. Jesus wants you to step on stage of this play he has been writing for thousands of years. And not just in a cameo role, but in a leading role.
The only question is, for us, will we step on stage?
This past week, Heather and I were talking about the time that we've spent in the book of Acts, and I couldn't help but think that we are a completely different group of people. And I don't just mean that that's because many of you have joined us in the last 2.5 years, but also because of the way that I have seen God shape and change us as a community. I believe that in the last 2.5 years, God has strengthened the commitment of this church to see the mission of God active in the world. I have seen the ways in which this church has become more generous with their time, with their resources, with their money. I have seen the way in which people have rallied around the mission priorities that God has given us to follow Jesus more closely, to connect with others, to invest in the next generation, and to impact the world. I have seen the ways in which God has truly changed us into a thriving community of changed lives, changing lives through the book of Acts. It's pretty remarkable to see how God has used the last, I don't know how many months it is, 36 months of us, it's not 36, 30 months of us walking through the book of Acts. So all that behind us, we're going to do it. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to read the final words of this famous book, the book of Acts. Now, before I do, it's important to get some context because at this point, Paul, the Apostle Paul, has made it to Rome. It wasn't easy, but he finally made it to where he was headed. And as he arrives, he is pleasantly surprised by two things. First, the church is thriving in the city of Rome. He wasn't sure what would he would be arriving to, but God has clearly been at work in Rome in ways he didn't even imagine could be possible. Second, the Jewish leaders in Rome are actually open to hearing about his stance on this whole Jesus the Messiah talk. And as we pick up the story in Acts 28, verse 23, Paul is under house arrest, and he is awaiting his hearing with Caesar, which he appealed to do a few chapters back while he was in Caesarea. And the Jewish leaders are invited to come and to listen to what Paul has to say about this person, Jesus. Are you ready? Acts 28, starting at verse 23. So time was set, and on that day, a large number of people came to Paul's lodging. He explained and testified about the kingdom of God, and he tried to persuade them about Jesus from the scriptures. Using the law of Moses and the books of the prophets, he spoke to them from morning until evening. Some were persuaded by the things he said, but others did not believe. And after they had argued back and forth among themselves, they left with this final word from Paul. The Holy Spirit was right when he said to your ancestors through Isaiah the prophet, go and say to this people, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see. And their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. So I want you to know that this salvation from God has also been offered to the Gentiles, and they will accept it. Now listen, much like every encounter Paul has with people hearing the message of Jesus for the first time, the same thing happens here. Some believe and some don't. Some, they're all in, and some want to argue with Paul. It's becoming increasingly clear to Paul, though, that fewer and fewer of his Jewish brothers and sisters are open to the gospel. This is a rare instance in Paul's life when he arrives to Rome and his Jewish friends are actually open to hearing about the Messiah, Jesus. And it's especially true when you compare the response of the Gentiles in the area. The Gentiles are responding in force. They're handing their lives over to Jesus to join in the mission of the church as it's written in the book of Acts. Paul even quotes here Isaiah chapter 6, which predicted the response of God's people to this message about Jesus. And in doing so, Paul better understands the work of the Spirit in the world, and he reasons with those listening as to why God's people continue to reject the message of Jesus. And yet, in spite of all this, Paul carries on as he always does. Verse 30. By the way, did you know there's no verse 29? Do a little research. It'll be fun for you. For the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop him. Hallelujah. Great. The end. If you turn the page in your Bible, you'll be in the book of Romans. The Acts of the Apostles is over. Now, I don't know about you, but it all seems a little anticlimactic, doesn't it? Like, feels a little unresolved. I mean, you kind of ask yourself, like, that's the best you could do, Luke? Really, man? Like, then what? Now, we know from history that while Paul was hoping to make his way to Spain from Rome, Rome would actually be his final stopping point. He never would make it to Spain. And though he found favor with the Romans when he arrived, within a few years, the atmosphere in Rome and throughout the empire would change, especially towards Christians. The Caesar at the time, Nero, by 60 AD, would be crucifying thousands of Christians throughout Rome and the Roman Empire, blaming them for a horrendous fire that occurred in the city of Rome. It's believed that Paul was eventually beheaded by Nero sometime in 67 or 68 AD. The specifics are a little hard to nail down exactly, but history would teach us that that's a pretty accurate guess of what happened to Paul. At the end of the book of Acts is a curious one. Right? It's a bit like a song with an unresolved chord at the end. Like, there's got to be more to come. It leaves us wondering, is there more to come? Or is this story actually finished, or is it not? There is no, and they all lived happily ever after to the book of Acts. Now, there's a lot of speculation as to why Luke, who, by the way, is the author of the book of Acts, decided to end the book this way. One is that he didn't live long enough to finish it. That somehow he passed away suddenly, maybe, as he was writing the book, and this is just all they had. But knowing Luke's meticulous nature, both in the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, it seems unlikely this would happen. The other explanation is that it was intentional on Luke's part. The ending's unresolved nature was exactly as Luke and God intended it. Which then begs us to ask the question, why would Luke decide to end the book this way? Why would he be intentional in not resolving the story? Why does he end the story in this unresolved sort of nature to it? Now, one answer might be that he got tired of writing. He's just like, enough. It's 28 chapters. I'm done writing. We're just going to end it right here. But again, knowing Luke, this seems unlikely. It could be that he just didn't have any more information, right? Maybe at that point he and Paul separated and you just never found out what happened next. But we know again from the book of Luke and the book of Acts that Luke was a voracious researcher. He would have definitely found the information he wanted to bring about whatever ending he wanted to include, which really only leaves one explanation for the unresolved ending of this book. Luke seems to end the book open-ended as if to say, the story isn't over. In fact, it almost seems as if Luke is just getting the story started in Acts chapter 28, doesn't it? Like this was just like the prologue to a longer story that God wants to write well after Acts chapter 21, verse 30, or 28, verse 31 ends. Which I think should give us all a little bit of hope. Luke leaves the story so unresolved because he wants us, the readers and listeners, to recognize that the story that God started in the book of Acts is still being written. It's still ongoing. It hasn't ended. That's the beauty of this ending, is that we are now the continuation of the story that God started in the book of Acts. As I said 2.5 years ago, we are now actors in the play or the story that God is writing in history every single day. And again, it should give us hope. So much of life is spent sitting in the tension of unresolved situations, circumstances, and relationships. And yet the book of Acts reminds us that even though life may seem unresolved, God is still writing your story. It's not over yet. And I get it. Life can feel like the book of Acts. Unresolved, leaving you wanting more. But this doesn't mean your story is over any more than it meant the story of God's work through the church was over in Acts chapter 28. It has been 2,000 years since Luke finished the book of Acts. And well, the gospel message has done pretty good. It's done just fine, has it not? Yes. And that being said, I get that sitting in the unresolved nature of life can be difficult. It feels a little uneasy. It's stressful. It causes anxiety in us. It's one thing to understand that God is still writing your story, and it's another to know what to do when things seem really unresolved. So again, I can't think of anybody else to look at than Paul to help us navigate that. Because Paul was constantly living in the tension of what had happened and what was to come. And in the book of Philippians, a book that he would write while he was on his third missionary trip, Paul writes about how to approach this unresolved nature of life. And he writes these words in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Paul says, look, I get it. Oh, so much. He's sitting in prison. He has no idea what's next. He is in the tension of whatever might come. He might be released. He might be executed. He might spend the rest of his life there. He has no idea what is to come. And in the middle of that, he says, I focus on one thing. When life seems unresolved, when I don't know what's coming next, I focus on one thing. I forget about the past, and I look forward to what lies ahead. Even when I don't have all the answers, he says, I press on. I mean, these are the words of a man who knows that God is still writing his story. He knows that. He knows that life is messy. His past is a little ugly. He also knows that so much of life is spent feeling unresolved. And as a result, the Spirit leads him to focus on this one thing. Forget the past and look forward to what lies ahead. Press on. Be resilient. Don't give up. So as we wrap up our time in the book of Acts, I can think of no better promise than knowing that God is still writing your story. Press on. Be resilient. Don't give up. Hang on to his promises. What he did and has done in the book of Acts was just a snapshot of what he is doing and wants to continue to do in and through you, the church, and those in this world who believe in him. God is still writing your story. He is not finished with you. No matter what has happened in your past, no matter what's going on in your present, God is not finished with you. Press on. He is still working, like we talked about last week. And he is still writing the story with your life. No matter how unresolved it may seem today, press on, don't give up, be resilient. You know, I know so many of you feel stuck today. You feel unsure. You're wondering, God, what is next? And that's okay. I'm glad you're here. It's okay to feel that way. We all do. But I want you to know that God is not finished with you or the story he's writing with your life. So press on, keep on moving forward, keep believing, keep following, keep being faithful. Allow him to write the story that he wants to write with your life. Take the next step, whatever that might be. In fact, it's very possible that you walked into Genesis today wondering if God is even real and if he even cares a lick about your life. And so it's my hope that as we close the book of Acts, that you will know that God is still writing your story, even if you're not sure if he's real, even if you're not sure that he cares. I promise you, having gone through the book of Acts for 2.5 years, he cares, and he's still writing your story, and he is here today to prove himself real to you in this place. I mean, your past might be the messiest thing that any of us have ever seen, and your present might seem so unresolved, you don't know what's coming next, but he brought you here today to tell you, I am not finished with you. I am not finished with you any more than I'm finished with the book of Acts. He brought you here today to invite you to begin writing a new story for your life. He brought you here today to tell you his kingdom is near and that Jesus Christ is the one you've been searching for. He brought you here today to tell you that you are not defined by the things of your past or the unresolved nature of the present. He brought you here to tell you that he sees you, he knows you, he loves you, and he desires a new relationship with you, one that he will write a new story with, one that is a story filled with hope and joy and abundant life. And the only question for us this morning is, will we respond to his invitation? He is waiting. Will we step out of our old stories that maybe we've been dragging around with us for decades? Will we finally let them go? Forget the past, look forward to what lies ahead, to press on, to be resilient, to be faithful, to continue following. And when we stray, to come back time and time again. Will we step out of our old story and into a new one that he will continue to write with the Holy Spirit in your life? Because God is not finished with you. God is still writing your story. Let me pray. God, it's odd to come to a conclusion in all of this today. The book of Acts feels like it's become a part of us as a church. And yet, it was never your intention for us to simply dwell on what has happened. But instead, your intention was for us to continue to look forward to what lies ahead, to press on, to keep moving forward. Lord, I know that there are so many people in this room this morning who, for one reason or another, feel like life is unresolved. There's just so many questions that we might have, and we're not sure what is around the corner ahead of us. And I love the fact that, God, you allowed Luke to end the story this way to remind us that you're not done, no matter what comes. You're not finished. It feels unresolved, but in the end, you will bring resolution. And that you're calling us to focus on this simple thing, to press on, to forget the past, and to look at what lies ahead. And so this morning, as we wrap up the book of Acts, we look forward to what lies ahead, God, that you would continue to write the story of the church that you started in Acts in and through us. And I pray for those who are in this room, God, that I know in this moment you are revealing yourself to them. That they have come with questions about you, that they're not even sure, God, if you're real, if you care. And I just pray, God, that in this moment they would be known and loved by you. They would sense your spirit in and through them. God, you come to us. No matter what may have happened in our past, no matter what's going on in our present, to remind us that I'm not finished, that this story isn't over. Thank you. Thank you for the words that you gave to us in the book of Acts. Thank you for the sequel to the story of Jesus, for inviting us to be actors in this play that you continue to write. May we be faithful. May we press on. May we keep moving forward and be resilient. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.